I have a prayer in my heart. This is what I feel to say. Carry me till I make it through the storm. Sometimes, Lord, I feel that I am windswept and I'm torn. But you said you wouldn't give us more than we could bear. I know, Lord, that you're there. I'm asking you to hear my prayer. Oh, carry me through the storm. Jesus, I know you are my anchor. You're the one thing that is holding my life together. Without you, I just lay in your arms and find my peace in you. Carry me till I make it through the storm. Sometimes, Lord, I feel that I am windswept and I'm torn. But you said you wouldn't give us more than we could bear. I know, Lord, that you're there. I'll put my hand in yours till I can walk another mile. If you'll carry me till I make it through the storm. Sometimes, Lord, I feel that I am windswept and I'm torn. But you said you wouldn't give us more than we could bear. I know. I'll put my hand in yours till I can walk another mile. If you just carry me till I make it through the storm. Sometimes, Lord, I feel that I am windswept and I'm torn. But you said you wouldn't give us more than we could bear. I know, Lord, that you're there. I'm asking you to hear my prayer. know you are my anchor. You're the one thing that is holding my life together. Without you, I don't know how I'd make it through. Can I just lay in your arms and find my peace in you? Carry me till I make it through the storm. to trust him, for he's on my side. I'm not afraid to trust him, for he is my guide. He's able to deliver from every bond set free. I'm not afraid to trust him, for he will deliver me. Oh, I'm not afraid to trust him, for he's on my side. I'm not afraid to trust him, for he is my guide. He's able to deliver from every bond set free. Oh, I'm not afraid to trust him, for he will deliver me.
Trust him, for he is my guide. He's able. come to church with y'all today, take and worship, and thanksgiving and praise with everyone this morning. All have a lot to be thankful about, especially hearing and seeing all the things that's happened this last week. And this world's a shaking, being shook. And that won't be the last crisis, wasn't the first. There'll be more. And we've just got to hold on to our faith and trust in Him who gives us our strength. I'm appreciative of that. I was kind of like Brother Smith, though. I was, during the first part of the week, I was like, I can't listen to no more of this stuff. And then I think it was, Friday morning? Yeah, it was Friday morning when, and for all day Friday, you couldn't turn on the TV on any of the networks. When I got home from work Friday, it was all that was on there. It was after them guys, or after this one guy that they caught in Boston. And the whole story kind of sounded like an action movie, you know, throwing grenades out of the car to them and kidnapping people, and I don't know. I was like, wow, this is something. But, I was trying to, I didn't need 4 hours of coverage of this stuff, just kind of tell me when they caught the guy. It'd be enough for me, But that's how the networks make their money. I mean, they had everybody's eyes glued in the country to that, and for all week, and especially Friday night. But I'm glad I have a source of strength when I'm weary and in well-doing. And I was thinking about that song, that first song Sister Joey sang, said He gives me strength. And when I thought, after thinking about that, and I had a kind of a vision in my mind of how God gives you strength. Of course, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He said, I know how to be abound, I know how to be abased. Wherever and in all things I am instructed to be full. I've been both full and hungry, both abound and to suffer need. And I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And I was telling somebody just this week, I said, it doesn't matter what you have. If you have $1 million in the bank and a mansion to live in, or you don't, if you live in a tiny apartment and living paycheck to paycheck, it's what goes on between here, whether or not you're happy, what brings you joy and happiness. And I remember a guy one time, he kept telling me, he lived in a big house, had some land, always had a lot of money. And I lived in, when I lived in Missouri, I just lived in a double wide trailer, or drove a junky old car. And he would tell me, Michael, you're the richest guy I know. You got it made. You got it going on. He told me this all the time. And I was trying to figure out, what in the world does he mean? I'm the richest guy, I knew what he was talking about, but I said, I've got my own set of problems. It's like you got your own set of problems. But I kind of see what he really was talking about. Although he had all that stuff, he wasn't really happy. And I was happy. He could see that I had happiness and joy in my life. But I was thinking about the scripture, which related to with a song about God giving you strength. And not a lot of you many of you probably played athletics in school, you guys, and I think me and Brother Brett, Brother Pryor, we've been in the gym lifting weights and stuff. And sometimes you have to have a spotter, you know, when you get up to lifting as much weight as you can possibly weigh, you know, you get to a point where you can't push it any further. You can't push it. And so somebody will come behind you and they'll get you by the, they'll put their hands underneath your elbows or just on the bar, and you'll get it on up there. And you think, boy, I don't know how much I actually did right there, until you become the spotter. And when you become the spotter, you can get a guy who's he's like this, and I can't push it any further. And you put your hand on the bar, and you start lifting like this, and they get it on up, and they don't realize you're barely doing anything. You just barely lifting your fingers up, and they get it up there. It's all it took was just a little bit, and that's all. I think that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to give it our all. He doesn't have to give a whole lot to help you to get through and press through and get that obstacle pushed up, that burden lifted up off of you. But if you'll press, that's what Paul, he said, press for the mark of the high calling. Press, press therein. You can press. He said, well, I can't press any further. Well, give it all you got. He'll assist you and give you what little bit you need to get it on up there, but he wants you to press through it. I was thinking, then I got to think about that song, I'm Not Afraid to Trust Him. And we was doing these heavy back squats one day at the gym, and this little old gal said, would you come over there and make sure I can get this up? Okay. Well, I'm not an expert on that. And she was down and she's trying to get, I'm going, I can't. And I just grabbed the bar and she just went out from underneath it and I set it down. And then the trainer came over and helped her, but he didn't get a chance to help her. He was going to help her get it on up. I bailed her out. He was just going to put his hand under her arms and pick her up like this, up off the, and because he knew that's all it would take to get her on up, just a little bit of help. Well, I guess she didn't trust him. Because she bailed with that load on her like this, and he's standing behind her, and it hit him in the shins. And luckily, she wasn't really a big girl, so she didn't have a lot of weight, but she still scraped him up. And I thought, well, you got to trust your trainer. If he says you can do it, if he says he's going to help you, give him a chance to help you. Well, give God a chance to help you when you're under a load. Just say, God, I know you're here. I'm not going to bail on you. I'm not going to give up and just flop out of this deal. But I believe that you're going to give me the strength to get through this load. We all come under a heavy load from time to time. I know I do, and there's not anybody here that doesn't. If you're not having a trial now, pray for those who are. And then, because your time's going to come. It all comes in cycles. That we all go through something in this life. We need to know where our strength comes from. So I just wanted to share that little bit with you today, and I wanted to welcome everybody here today. Sister Inez, glad to have you back. We missed her. She made her presence known today, didn't she? Yeah. She's back. I'm glad to see her back. Glad to see Wes and Brenda back there coming in, being with us today, and Gail made it. That family's been under a load lately, heavy, heavy load. And that load is, they're still under a heavy load. They're going to need your prayers over the next couple of months while Sister Elsie's rehabilitated. She's got a lot that she's going to have to be rehabilitated to even get up to any type of normal routine again. And they they know that they've got a long row to hoe, so to speak, we say in here in Arkansas. We say stuff like that here in Arkansas. We know when things are start almost over, so we're down to the short rows. If you've done any gardening or if you've done any picking, brother, I think Brother Tally, where's he at? He said he's chopped cotton before. You liked it when you got down the short rows, didn't you? Oh, this is a short. We're getting down the fields, getting the closer you get to being done, the rows are getting shorter. And some of the other guys who've been out in the fields, I know some of you guys pick, or whether you're, they've got a long row to hoe right now. I need your prayers. I want to welcome Nathan's friend, Justin Haley. I got that right? Lives down there in the Redfield area. Went to school with Nathan. He's out of school now. But it was him and Rachel and Nathan used to get together and play music, stuff there at the house. And he's really a good young man to be around. We all always enjoy him, have him at the house. Good mannered, always respectful, and we're just glad to have him. He wanted to come today. He asked if he could come. Can I come to church with y'all tomorrow? Well, sure. Come on. He said, well, mind if I spend the night? Spend the night. We'll just load you up and take you with us. We're always welcome. Any young person that wants to come to church, we'll load them up and bring them. We're glad for that. I'm glad to have everybody here. I don't see any other people that I would call guests. Everybody here looks like they belong here. Sister Tiffany, you look like you just belong here. So you've been here enough. We're going to count you as one of us. Keep praying for the victims of the bombing, and pray for Brother Smith. He's up in that area. He's in Haverhill, Massachusetts. I thought he was in Canada, but he did go. But he's already back. He's going to be in Rhode Island this week. And yeah. He was in lockdown for a while. He wasn't even in Watertown. They're back to normal, see where he's at. And they're going to be going to Rhode Island, see Brother Lionel this week. And keep praying for Sister Elsie and the family. Brother Henry. Sister Gail, I didn't ask you this, but you think it would be better if people would call you before they come up and see your mom during this time to see if she's resting, if she's maybe call you or Brenda one before we go up there, or what do you think? Yeah, so she's having some anxiety issues and coming off all the medication and the breathing machine right now and everything. And they say that's normal for somebody to kind of go through that. So, you know, just may, if you go up there and you have to kind of watch, if she's being really, really anxious, you may want to limit your visit. If she's resting and seems to be doing okay, then you can prolong it a little longer. So just kind of give you a heads up on that, at least for the next few days. My Nana has that trigeminal nerve, which is very hard to manage the pain in. And when she has to give her higher doses of medicine, it kind of knocks her for a loop where she's a little harder to manage as far as walking and all that types of thing. Kind of leaves her kind of less mobile. So she's moving. So pray for my Nana. Any other prayer requests? Sister Sandra. Sister Lula May, is that what you said? Okay, yes, well. Yes, your sister. Going through chemo and radiation and all that for cancer. Yeah, keep her in mind. Brother Dylan. Sister Donna's sick today. Pray for her. All right, let's stand, take these knees before the Lord. Brothers, come up, take the offering. Lord, we're thankful today for your goodness and your mercy and your strength you've given us. Lord, we know that you're our strength. There are times of trouble, oh God. We ask you, Lord, to strengthen Brother Smith and his travels up there in the New England area. Lord, we ask you to be with the Ratliff family and Sister Elsie as they go through their time of struggle and burden. Be with Sister Donna, Sister. Be with Lula May going through this cancer and her treatments. Lord, we ask you just to give her strength, Lord. Oh, God. Sister Lula, Brother Angelo, all the unspoken requests, everybody here, Lord. We just ask you to be with us today, today's service, oh, God. Come to you in thanksgiving, praise, and thankfulness, oh, God. Oh, God, dear Jesus. So much. I give you thanks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
you getting to be in the house of God today? Sounds like we all do. It's a good place to be, isn't it? It's a safe haven and a refuge. So many people seek safety in so many things. They seek it in family. They seek it in fortunes. They seek it in land. They seek it in anything that's... You ever notice that most people seek their refuge in tangible things? Just a human characteristic. Even in the Bible it says that in that day of judgment, I'm going to paraphrase this, shorten it up a little bit, but that they'll cry unto the mountains to be hid. They're still looking for something tangible to hide them. A big mass of people to hide inside of. You know, there's anonymity inside a group of people. You can just be hid in there and nobody know it's you. That's a good word, wasn't it? And not much required to be in that group. As Brother Michael was saying, you don't have to do a whole lot. God will do most of it. Actually, we still got to do a whole lot. And God does a whole lot. I'm not correcting Brother Michael in any way. I'm just going to expound upon his thought if he would give me that latitude for a moment. Is he started out by saying that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. I believe that's right. And to understand what God is doing for us and how what his plans is for us. Sorry, I kind of daydream. So to know what his plans are for us is really a hard thing to know. You know that we can look in the Bible and see his plans for the church. But how do I get incorporated in that? Appreciated Brother Michael's thought on being a spotter. Being a spotter is a lot like being a person sitting in a church that backs somebody trying to do something. My wife's a piano player. I didn't never really appreciated my wife as a piano player until we got out to be on our own. Then I realized, oh my God, what a job. So one time we was talking around the table after church. I said, if you'd get behind me preaching, I could probably do better. And she said, well, if you'd get behind me playing, I know I could do better. I said, okay. I'll spot you and you spot me. Touche. Well, I'm married. She's German. I'm used to that, you know. I appreciate people that don't pull punches. I don't. I'm not political in nature, although I can be sometimes political in intent. But I appreciate people to say what's on your mind. I can handle the fallout of that. Don't make me guess too much. My mind's not keen enough to figure out what you're trying to tell me if you obscure it so much. Sometimes we make so many flowery things. What's the gist of what you're saying? Oh, I was just asking you to dinner. Oh, why didn't you just ask? But we know we can do all things through Christ when strengthens us. I don't know that that's always a physical thing. The mind is willing, but the flesh is weak, isn't it? What happens when the flesh is willing, but the mind is weak? Sometimes I got my body can do it. Told Jody this morning, I said, I feel good today. You know, I'm a youthful 43. I do all kinds of stuff. Till about 10 o'clock at night, and all of a sudden, the 43 catches up with me. I'm still feeling youthful, but then I'm like a little bitty baby. I wanted to sleep all night. But anyway, if I get on with my thought here, if you give me a second, is to understand that it's our mind that God is having to deal with. That's what Michael's saying, Brother Michael's saying, is this stuff, this 3 pounds, give or take, depending on your gender, of gray matter between your ears. Believe it or not, we all don't have the same amount of 3 pounds. Some have more and some have less. And that is gender specific. That's a fact for you. There's a thought that I want to work here on, is this right here, on this, we can do all things through Christ when it strengthens us. Let's go here to Luke, the 18th chapter. And let's just start here in 18:18. And a certain ruler, always heard that certain young ruler we know was wealthy. We're going to find it out. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, my good master, What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Well, that's an honest question, fairly straightforward. It says, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. So Jesus don't answer his question immediately. He immediately responds with, don't call me good. You notice that? He immediately puts himself back in perspective in this man's mind. He puts God as being the do-gooder or the good in this man's mind. That way it's not pointed at this at Jesus himself. That's the first thing he answers for that man. Don't call me good. There's only one good. God. Thou knowest the commandments. And then he starts to remind him what he already knows. He says, thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And the man answers, and he goes, and he said, all these things have I kept from my youth up. So he was a good man, was he not? So now we've got this guy. He's asked a question. The instructor put himself in his proper place. Isn't that a good spirit to have? Maybe that's the spirit a minister should have. I ain't here to answer your questions. I'm here for his benefit. And if he's the captain of this deal, I'm the tip of his sword, for so to speak, is what Jesus could have said. He says, well, I've done this from my youth up. This is a good man. I can't say I've done all the things I was taught from my youth up. First of all, I had to have a whole new table of knowledge written on my heart one day when I was 16 years old. I had to have something new put on me. I had to have my mind scrubbed and my heart rewritten. I had to have his laws written upon the fleshy, not fleshly, but the fleshy tables of my heart or my intellect or my mind. So I kept some of the laws that my mom and dad gave me, and some of them got rewritten. But from the time I was 16, I don't know that I could honestly stand before Jesus and ask him, good master, what do I need to do to be saved? And he says, well, you know what to do. Well, I've done it all. No, I don't think I could in good conscience. Thou shalt not lie. I don't know that I could in good conscience tell him that. I've got my conscience to deal with, and I've got another conscience that deals with me. Two of them, in fact. I'm married to one of them. The other one is the Spirit of God that dwells in me. They both help corral me. And it's a good thing. He says, verse 22, he says, now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, that thou have, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Now it just stands to reason that this man was, he had all this tangible stuff, and that was his security. He was a rich young man. He asked his question, he got it dealt with, and now he's got his answer. And then his response is, I'm very saddened. It says, and when he had heard this, he was very sorrowful. For he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, well, you know, I've heard that spun in two different ways. I'll spin it this way first. Is that he was sorrowful, and he was going to do it, and he went and done it. But then Jesus had to come back and say that it troubled himself to see that this man was sorrowful. I guarantee if they come to Jesus, stood right here today, and I think he would dress himself to look just like one of us. I don't think he'd show up in a white robe and a big fluffy beard and look somewhat between a cross, between Santa Claus and whatever. I think he'd show up dressed as a man in the 20. Is this 21st century? I didn't know if we'd changed after we crossed the double O's. But in the 21st century, I think he would look like one of us. He never done nothing there to stand out. The greatest mind of that day, he never done anything to embarrass or shame anybody around him. He never made anybody feel less intelligent. He just reminded them of what they already knew and what they were to be doing. It's a good spirit to have. A good mind today tries to impress you with their knowledge so that you point all that attention back to them. It's self-edifying, self-gratifying. Jesus was above that. He was meek and lowly and humble. And all those other things. He sought not. He was holy. I think, is it James that says that? Or is it Peter says he was holy. Harmless. Harmless. You ever done any harm? I don't mean killing a bird or a deer or a rabbit. Squashing a snake. Chopped the head off a snake the other day. I walked out the other day in my backyard and I like to absolutely had a fit. I walked out there with my glass of tea in my hand because I got a squirrel that lives in my attic right above my bed. Don't he? And sometimes I think they're having a soccer match up there. There may be a whole family of them. Right there where my chimney meets my house. And I can't get into it because I got a whole bee's nest that has burrowed into my chimney. So there's only a certain time. I told Joseph, they're going to be here all winter. I can't get up here and get them. I don't want to stir them bees up. And then she said, what are you going to do? I said, when it hits 100 degrees outside, I promise they're coming out of the roof of that house. So this morning there was no noise up there. I think, thank God, it's gotten warm enough they can't take the heat. They're gone. But now the bees are flying everywhere. They don't matter. I mean, they're going to get... It's like we got this squirrel in the house the other day. I told Jaron, it wasn't a squirrel. Where's Nathan? Remember that little thing you caught in our house? What was that called? Sugar glider. It's like a little baby squirrel. Flying squirrel. I think I was one of them. Me and my dad flew airplanes. He always told me I was a squirrel. But anyway, this squirrel got in the house. I told Jaron, I said, just grab him. So we got him all cornered up. We chased him all over the house. Jaron got him cornered up and grabbed him. I said, don't worry, he won't bite you. And he bit him. And that thing is set there and got it latched on his finger. And I said, don't you dare let him go. You just hang on to him. He's biting me. Don't you let that thing go now, I'm telling you. I appreciate that I finally was able to get enough authority over my kids that he'll listen. But boy, he was screaming bloody murder. That thing got blood coming out of him. Finally got him out the door. I told him, he just took off running and just flung that thing. You ever think that something won't get you? Then when it gets a hold of you, all you want to do is just get rid of it. Yeah, sure you have. I don't care if it's a car, a house. Girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever, job. Let's move on. Verse 24 says, when Jesus... Oh, I was going to tell you, I walked out of my backyard and I had this glass of tea in my hand. My dog, he was just laying right here. And I turned to reach for him. When I turned to reach for him, right beside him, I'm talking a foot away from him, was a snake about this long. At first, I thought it was a piece of rope. He was laying just straight as could be. I thought, oh, my dog drug up something. I went to grab it. And then I realized, this thing's got a business end over here, don't he? So, no, I didn't. I didn't give him a chance to get me. I bought a new shovel, so I tried it out. It worked good. I don't even know what kind it was. I just figured, this snake, he's got to be bad. It's a shame, ain't it?
Poor snake. Well, I can't say I'm harmless. I'm rough on them snakes.
Ain't so rough on the snake that dwells in me, that's for sure. Maybe I need to get a little rougher on him. Chop his head off. Those things are slick, too.
Anyway,
you ever heard this saying? That's Brother Oates the other day, if you'd ever heard this saying. There's a saying that I grew up hearing. Said that a beast concealed is like a lamb. A beast revealed is like a fox. And a beast in power is like a lion. Anybody ever heard that saying? You know, whenever you can keep your beast under control, and they seems to be so, they got their nature under control, it seems. They're so lamb-like, so docile. You do something and you expose them. somehow they get embarrassed or something happens and you find out that that beast has gotten revealed, well, then it gets foxy. It gets tricky. It comes up with stories and covers itself. If you don't think a beast in power is like a lion, well, just look in the country, folks. That's pretty evident. But that can happen in a church too, by the way, not necessarily on a ministerial level. Verse 24 says, and when Jesus saw, he was very sorrowful. When he saw the ruler was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. I've heard all kinds of spins on that as well, of course. Needle's eye was a hole in the side of the building, in the side of the city of Jerusalem that people could pass through, but you couldn't pass through it if you was on a camel. It's called the needle's eye, the eye of the needle. The traders would come in through there, and that's how they would first go into the city and leave all their wares outside. Then they'd open the gates and let them in, and so forth and so on. Lord, I got lightheaded explaining that. But I think that what we're going through is the eye of a needle. So straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth to life everlasting. But broad and few there be that go in thereat. Few. But broad is the gate, and wide is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Now that seems like an eye of a needle to me, spiritually speaking. And if I can't condense myself to get through that eye and allow the Word of God to wrap this up in me and to control me till finally my beast that was a lion one day, and then it becomes foxy every once in a while, and it can be a lamb today. It's a lamb. It's a little nice, quiet guy. Just punch me in the face, see what happens. Don't do that. See, we're all people trying to get along this journey. But the reason this rich man can't get through this eye of the needle or in this straight and narrow way in modern day time, 21st century body of Christ time, since we don't have a spiritual Jerusalem, and he can't get through this eye of the needle any longer, is because it's so easy to put our confidence in those tangibles. See, as Brother Michael was talking, Brother Brett knows this too, the just knowing the spotter is there changes your mind. Said enough that you can achieve what you need to achieve. The other day I went out and I worked out with Justice. He's got me doing these compound workout things. It's the craziest thing. I do 8 reps at 100 pounds, and I do get off as fast as I can do, and I do 8 push-ups, and I jump back on and do 8 reps at 100 pounds and 8 push-ups, and I do it till I go to exhaustion. It's what they call going to fatigue. Well, I done 3 sets of each, and I got down to my last push-up. I got it right here, and I thought, oh, dear God. Well, you don't want to holler out in the gym, help! Because, you know, you're there being manly. Help! And I got that thing, and it was right here on my throat, and I slid it down to my chest. I thought, God, how am I going to get this off of me? I thought, well, I'll sit here and just catch my breath for a second. But your arms are so bent like that, they don't get any blood flow going to them. So they're getting worse by the second. And you got 100 pounds sitting on your chest, so you can't breathe. So finally, I kind of slid it off to one side, and I got one arm up enough. We got two little bars that you can set those things, and I got it up just enough. I had to limbo my way out from underneath it. I jumped out right quick, and nobody's looking. I put it up on that top bar. We got me a drink of water. See, ain't that vain? Huh? Ain't nobody in there but fat old people like me. They know what you're doing. There's mirrors everywhere. You ain't getting by with nothing. Well, we think we're slick, don't we? But we put so much confidence in these tangibles. My money will save me. No, it won't. Sam Walton was one of the richest people in the world, I believe, or at least up there among them. I don't know what percentage, but I bet you he was definitely not part of the 99. I definitely put him in the 1% group. But all that wouldn't buy him one more breath. And I guarantee he'd have swapped every bit of it for that last one, too. Makes you so much more appreciate what God's doing for Sister Elsie, don't it? And I'm sure there's deeper thoughts than that. I know there is, but we're not going to go any deeper into that particular thought. It says, and they that heard this, heard it said, they asked him, they said, well, who then can be saved? If this man can't be saved, then who can be saved, Jesus? And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Now, we just pointed out that he's dealing with a man's mindset to get rid of tangible things. We know God's performed a miracle for Sister Elsie. We'll enjoy it for as long as it lasts. Inevitability is what it is. But thank God for a few more days. Amen. I really mean that. And doctors can write off hope. Many things can go on. Look like you're fixing to lose everything you've ever possessed, and something happened, you get to keep it. Many things that God does with man, but the number one thing he's trying to get through is he works on their mind. And he was dealing with this man's mind when he said the things which are impossible with man. It was impossible for that man to get his mind to the place that he could trust letting all that go and come and follow me. And it'd be hard for me. I'm probably like that little rich man there. I'd probably say, man, I ain't got much. I mean, I got 3 hots and a cot, but, and it's steady. And you're telling me don't take purse and don't take script and don't worry about food. And we're going to sleep under the stars in a barn. I don't know if I can do that. That's impossible. Does that make sense what I'm saying? So he says that that's impossible with man, but with God it's possible. So whenever we get that mindset changed, just like that spotter, he ain't doing that much, Brother Michael said. Spotter ain't doing a whole lot. He's changing somebody's mindset. The things which are impossible with little pusher-upper man, it's not impossible whenever he gets that behind him. And so when we learn to, I'm learning something. I'll tell you what I'm learning. And y'all all know I own a business, and it's the hardest thing for me to do, what I'm doing. As we went through a very big trial, it lasted several years before we went to Searcy. We got to Searcy, and the Lord blessed us. There's a scripture in Psalms, I believe it is. No, you know what? No, it's the next one. Let's just read it real quick. And Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed thee. See, now they're in a position to where the rich young ruler should have been. It says, then Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed thee. And he said unto him, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake who shall not receive manifold. That was the word that clicked into my mind today whenever Brother Michael was talking. Don't ask me why, just the way I am. It says, who shall receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. So you're not going to give up any tangible thing and not gain something if you give it up for the right reasons. If you give it up to come and follow Jesus. If you give it up and allow God to take the reins of your heart there in Isaiah 28, that he takes the reins of your heart, he controls that. And you allow him to finally be the rider of your horse at least. He may not be fully riding the church, but he can definitely have full control of you. I once heard it said that the way to operate, that Jesus operates this way. I'll just throw it out there. Not necessarily the case, but I'll throw it out there anyway. It says, request, response, and reward. So I was taught to deal with my family. I request my children to do something. They respond by doing it, and I reward them with affection or love or praise or pizza or whatever the case may be. Freedom. My brother Michael gave me a good thought a few months ago, maybe a year or so back, whenever he said this. Because he's only 2 years older than me. But his kids are grown compared to mine, except for Nathan, who's the same age as Jaren, I think.
And so he's a little further down the road. And I've always been a person that I try to take advice from people who have been there. Because if they've been there and done that and they got the shirt to prove it, surely I can glean something out of them. He said, you know, you keep your kids in a fence their whole life and you teach them this is the boundaries. Then when they get grown up and they go, they get outside the fence. What they don't know is there's actually another fence out there. And they'll get out there and it's going to be a lot farther than you put because you put your fence a lot closer than that fence is. But they're going to get out there and bump up against that fence. You remember telling me that? Remember where was that? It was up there in the mountains. Up by Fort Mountain. I think that's the name of it. So when your kids get out there so far, don't fear too much. They're going to bump up against that fence one of these days. Just have your heart made up. That's for me. That was a personal journey. Now, in my job, God rewarded us when we got to Searcy, and he really blessed my job. I had a great job. They moved me there. Making more money than I ever made in my life. It was wonderful, wasn't it? We were doing great. Finally, we could go out and eat and not have to worry if we was going to have to sell something to pay the light bill next week. It's a good feeling. It's wonderful. Got down so bad one time I said, I'll never sell my saxophones. I use them in the house of God. I'll never get rid of them. Come home Friday, no water, no electricity, and some spinach, some beans. And I'm like, what happened? Got no money. Guess what I did? Loaded one in each arm and went and got rid of them. And I cried all the way there and I cried all the way back. I got them all back, though. Well, minus one. So we ended up in Searcy and God really blessed my life. It was wonderful. And my job told me, they said, I think I've told this before. Said, you're not going to go to this meeting because we're asking you to work. And I said, no, I worked last week and I'm going to this meeting. That's all there is to it. So I went to that meeting. Well, true to their word and true to mine, we had us a meeting of the minds. And they said, you can either pastor your little church or you can work for us, but you ain't got time in the day to do both. Go and sell. That's all I could think of right now is go and sell all you have. I'm telling you, we got down to having nothing. I had sold my four-wheelers and guns and toys and horns and we didn't sell her piano. We was a whole lot like Brother Leonard. We weren't going to get rid of that. I mean, it was tough. We was living in this big old house. It seemed like, from the outside, it looked like, man, they got their stuff going. They got it figured out. But on the inside of that thing, it was far from figuring out. That's the truth. So then when we finally got comfortable enough and that come my way, I said, oh, okay. I never even hesitated. I pulled out my company phone and my little company keys, and I threw it all on the desk. And I said, all right, boys, I sure hate it that you done that. I hate it that you put it that way. And I walked out the door. And the only people I knew were the people that was visiting our church. And y'all. Y'all was 52 miles away. And it wasn't just about a month went by. Come up with this idea for my company, and we started it, and God's just blessed it and blessed it and blessed it. And then when we moved here, I felt God saying, okay, you got to trim this in, because I was gone all the time. See, God has to get our mindset right. My mindset is the mindset of a person that likes to reach out and grab everything I can. That's why I had all those shops, and that's why I've got this shop, and I do what I do trying to find. I told Joseph, I've got to find some other things to do. I woke up this morning. Well, she told me some things this past week. We sat down and discussed, and I told her this morning, I said, you know what? Why can't I just be content with the little I have? I think I'm just going to maintain what I got. I get 40 hours a week. It's not a back-breaking, killing job. We're getting by just fine. Ain't nobody going to come take nothing. Electricity's on every time I hit the switch, unless a tree falls over the line. She told me the other, she said, it feels good. We got all the bills paid this week. Huh. And we went out and eat twice, 2 days in a row. Three if you count the day. It's Sunday. We always got to go out on Sunday. So I'm learning to drop all that off. To not fear so much. Try not to carry so much weight. And maybe try to pick up more weight in the kingdom of heaven. This is a different type of weight. See, whenever he said the things are impossible with man, it was impossible for that rich young ruler to drop all that he had. But it wasn't impossible, as Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's not physical strength. I guess if you're going to be stoned and shipwrecked, I guess you would probably at least think that way. But he was saying that in my flesh, I can do no good thing. Even though I've been stoned and all this other stuff, and I am an educated man, there is no good in my flesh. Yet in Christ, I can do all things. That's, he can give up what he needs to give up. Brother Nathan had flashed that scripture up there. I've learned to abase myself. Can you put it back? When I am exalted, that I've learned to keep myself or abase myself. And when I'm abased, I've learned how to be exalted. Did you find it? It's Ephesians, ain't it? Maybe it ain't. It's Philippians. You just had it up there 20 minutes ago. Anyway, then Peter, I've read this already, but I want to reiterate it. Then Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed thee. And he said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake. Let me tell you, yeah, let me read this real quick. It says, oh, I thought that was the other one. You ain't got it? And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. That's not the one I want, though. I want the one where Paul was talking about that. Philippians 4:12. You got it there handy? Yes. And that is a very good scripture. If that rich man could have learned how to abound in his riches, but yet be abased in his spirit, he wouldn't have had any problem following Christ. But when he abounded in his riches and he abounded in his spirit, then his spirit was too rich for Christ to deal with. And then you've got those people that are just proud of nothing, too. I will say that. You ever heard that saying? There's people that are proud of nothing. I'm dirt poor country and I'm proud to be that way. Well, guess what? You're just as rich in your spirit as that rich man was with all of his riches. We struggle in this life because we put ourselves in predicaments that force us to have to struggle. I was taught that if a home is failing, it's the daddy that's failing. That might be tough. Your kids are flunking school, it's my responsibility. I always hated hearing that. I told Jody today, I said, wouldn't you rather be a man? She goes, no. I said, are you kidding? Stuff you got to put up with? You wouldn't want to be a man? No, sirree, I'd rather be a woman. I said, why is that? Well, I ain't got to get out in cold and work. Well, it ain't cold every day. Just some of them. It's really cold. I don't have to get work in the rain. It's not raining every day, babe. Sun's shining this week. Except for Tuesday. It's going to be raining. We're inside that day. Or we'll take off. See, that's the part of being a man, business owner. I was taught those things, and I took them to heart. Something's going on. Those are tough messages. She said, the reason I wouldn't want to be a man is because the responsibility falls on you. And all that. You're supposed to be my leader. Gar. You're supposed to be the head of this house. That's what she said. She just didn't know it. Bless God, I'm the head of this house. See, that's a rich-minded man. Trust me, there are people that are so rich in their spirit, and they may be preachers. They may be able to get up and preach a message just rousing and stirs your heart. But if when you realize the intent and the spirit that goes into what and who they are as a person, you might see that there is something in there that is not holy. Hmm. You are. Okay. Let's go to this one. I want to go to Ephesians 3. And let's go 3:9. It's kind of jumping off in the middle of it here, but we'll just go there. It says, "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." Boy, that is just pretty straight up what it says, ain't it? God didn't create it all. Jesus did. It says, "To the intent that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ our Lord, in whom we have boldness," and take it that boldness is not being rich, okay, "and access with confidence by the faith of him." See, if this rich man would have been able to see, and I'm cueing off the word manifold there, there's a lot more going on in the scene of Christ and his church than just you or I. But at the same time, see, a manifold on a car takes a single source and branches it out to multiple areas. You take it, it's why they call it an intake manifold. And if you're a race car buff or you like speed and all those things, but you'll take a intake, you'll drop your carburetor on it. Motorcycles don't have that. They have one carb per cylinder. And some of them have one carb per two cylinders. So they would have a little manifold. But a car has usually eight cylinders. But it has one source of fuel. And it goes in through that source and is branched out into each cylinder. And whether you want to believe this or not, each one of those intake runners or tubes that go to those cylinders are the same length. Even though they're at different places, they all branch to the same length. Okay? It's called a tune. And if you don't have that, then some cylinders are going to get more gas and others aren't going to get enough. That's actually one of the major problems with a six-cylinder engine, because they're so long that the back cylinder and the front cylinder don't get as much fuel, because they didn't know those things back in those days. It's things they've learned. Okay? But you take one single source and it branches out. That's a manifold. And we have one single source of power. One single source of the Spirit. If 1 Corinthians puts it this way, that he divides severally as he will. I'll just play on that word for a moment. But it's one source that comes to you, Brother John, Brother Oates, Sister Crow, Brother Michael, Brother Durham, so forth, Jody, myself, all of us, our children, 8 to 80, whatever we may be, it's one source. And it's the same amount of fuel as at our disposal if we're willing to allow it to be burned in us. We allow it to have its working in us. That is a manifold. You take the same thought with the manifold wisdom of God, that it is one source, one creator that's able to deal with your heart on an individual level and your heart on an individual level and my heart on an individual level at each time. And at the same time, he's working on this church collectively. And at the same time, he's working on this church inside this body collectively. And at the same time, he's working on this church inside this body collectively in other countries. That's pretty cool. That's pretty amazing. That's why when you go fellowship a church over, you go to the international meeting in Des Moines, Iowa, and you get these men coming over from Africa, can barely speak English, and they're telling, they start teaching what they do, or Austria, or wherever. I mean, they're everywhere. France, and is France and England the same place? Oh, okay. Sorry. I'm not good on geography, okay? I'm just good on Arkansas, Oklahoma, and Texas. They never let me out much, okay? That's why they knew I wouldn't make my way back home. Anyway, you see that when they get up and start ministering, that the kindred spirit that you feel between them and you is the same as you feel sitting here in the Little Rock Church. And that's because that spirit is the same spirit that is branching out all over this country, all over this world. And he's gearing something up. He's building something up.
I'll stop right there. It says, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places. We do know that he has made us to sit together in heavenly places. I was taught this: when you start seeing the ministry be dealt with, you better get yourself together. Because the ministry is the first partakers of the fruit. When you see your ministry on a local level, you see God start doing things with them. You see them start going through things, or you see them start to overcome things. Maybe God starts to touch in their gift, or maybe God starts to work in their life. You might want to sit up and pay attention, at least on that one. Because guess what? He's going to do you next. It's your turn. It's your turn on the potter's wheel. God never, there's one thing he never does that man is typical of doing. This is a typical man trait. Is man will always, almost always, require something of people that he himself don't do, nor does he have a witness to prove that it can be done. You know that? What's that comet? Remember the comet guy? A bunch of people got killed in that comet. Applewhite. There's going to go jump on the Halley's Comet. There's going to jump on the comet. Yeah. Hellbop Comet. This man convinced people of weak intellect. And that's all I can say about it. I mean, that's just all you can say. That if you kill yourself, we can get on the back of this comet. Because this is really a spacecraft going through the world, through the galaxy. It's not galaxy. Universe? Space? I feel like William Shatner all of a sudden. through space, and we're going to get on the back of this thing. And he convinced people of that. Now, there was no witness that said it could ever be done. But he convinced people of these things. That's why whenever people are up reading their Bible or you hear something that don't sound quite right, did you know that you need to evaluate what things, and you're doing it right now, whether you want to or not, it's human nature. I guarantee you, your parents didn't ever set something on your plate in front of you and you didn't evaluate whether you wanted to try to eat it. It's kind of like Jody one time. She had to eat that boiled okra. So they went and visited his church family, and these people had a bunch of okra, and they boiled this okra. And her dad, I mean, he's pretty hardcore on doing what he wanted done. And you're going to do it. That's where I got request, response, and reward. Many other good things. But he said, this stuff, apparently if you boil okra too long, it gets real stringy. I don't know. She never cooked it. Thank God. I'd hate to hurt her feelings, and it cost me another meal. But her dad said, y'all going to eat. They started eating. They started gagging. So he went back there and told them. He could hear them gagging. Stuff hung down their throat. He told them, said, y'all going to eat that? I'm going to whip you when I get you home. So her brother choked it down. Jody said, I'll just take my whipping. Well, you'd have to know her dad, okay? Because, I mean, I never got one from him. He threatened me a few times that he wanted to. I will say this, I was obedient enough that I would have let him when I married her. After that point, no way, all bets are off on that. So anyway, they got home and Jody couldn't eat that stuff. So she just knew she was going to get a thrashing when she got to that house. She was dreading it, but it's a whole lot better than eating that stuff. Anyway, she ended up getting out of it. He told her, well, I couldn't hardly choke it down myself.
He had mercy. Sometimes when you're eating something, you know, you need to determine when you're hearing something, you're eating words with your ears. Apples, words fitly spoken are like apples of gold and pitchers of silver to a ready ear. That's the way I always say that. When you're hearing those words and you're eating those words, you know, you're evaluating what they're telling you. But what you need to, what you're really evaluating, and what we need to learn to evaluate, is that something spiritual? Is that feeding my flesh? Did you know that even in the makeup of feeling the Spirit, I ain't going there, but in the makeup of feeling the Spirit, that when somebody talks about something, that it can stir an emotion of you that feels a whole lot like a righteous indignation, but it really isn't. They can stir something that feels righteous, but it's really just stirring up your fleshy emotions, your fleshly emotions. That's why we have the thing called the Holy Ghost that helps determine that. And the way you know that if you eat something and assimilate it to yourself is in the next few services when you're home, if you decide to get on your feet and talk, how do you speak? Because if you take something that is assimilated to you and it's actually something in your flesh, you know that you're going to be more aggressive, you're going to be more rebuking, you're going to be more corrective, if that's what they stirred up. That may not make sense to you, but I guarantee you somebody knows it makes sense. To the intent that now the prince... Oh, hang on. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have built boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Well, I'm going to stop right there. I've pushed my limit too far, but I appreciate all that we have had in God. Appreciate all we're going to get in God. There's a whole lot more to be had than what we have. But just like that rich young man, he didn't tell him immediately what he needed to do. He told him what he already knew. Did you catch that? To him that doeth good, he that knoweth his master and his master's will and doeth it. Okay? But then there's those that knows his master and his master's will and doeth it not. So we can put on platitudes and make it sound like I'm doing all of God's will, but I may not be doing all God's will. I may just have my beast concealed today. And we're all on that journey, okay? I'm just pointing myself out because that's the guy talking. But we're all on this same journey. And I do appreciate God touching Sister Elsie and touching their family and helping them. Relish the time remaining that you have. And I'm curious to know what she could hear. We went to visit her, and Jody got up and sang her a song, walked in there and started singing her a song. She said, I may be down, you may be down today, but help is on its way. Dark clouds may dim your skies, but the Lord is right by your side. If you'll take one step, he'll take two. So amazing what the Lord can do. If we'll just give him that place, if we'll just step to him as honest hearted, I will say this about that rich young ruler, he was at least honest in his heart. But the request was more than he was able to deal with, because all of his comfort was right there. Now, I'm not saying go and sell all that you have and give it to the church. Come and live in the church. But if we're instructed to be married and live as though we have no wife, and we're pilgrims and sojourners, I think you talked on that, pilgrims and strangers, the difference on the two, in a foreign land, a stranger knows where he's at, but he's not in his homeland. A pilgrim, I forgot how you were, didn't you want to talk on that? We gave the definition, the difference between a pilgrim and a stranger. It's a good thing to know. Because we are pilgrims and strangers in a foreign land. And we're not to just I'm gonna shut up. I'm what am I saying? What's it called? Filibustering. It happens. I appreciate God, okay? And I know you do too, because you've sat through all this. God is building a great big body. He sure is. He's doing many, many mighty things. And he wants to do them with you. Will you let him? Or will you not? I can't make that decision for you. That's on your shoulders. I told my boys here a while back, I set them down very often. Justice hates this because I do this. It just drives him nuts. I'll sit down and we'll start talking. I said, tell me what causes despair. Why would you feel despair? I want to ask you today, why anybody in this building would feel the feeling of despair? Why anybody in this building would feel the feeling of being downcast and downtrodden, forgotten, abandoned, left alone? Ask yourself that. 2 Corinthians 4, we are in despair. Oh, no, we are. You sang the song, what is it? We're cast down, but not destroyed. Somebody turn me off. 2 Corinthians 4. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Some people feel like they're alive. There's more to that than that, ain't there? Can you get the next one up? We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed. That's a quandary. I don't know what to do. I'm perplexed here. But I'm not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, not destroyed. Is that all of them? Is that the whole gist of it all? Always bearing about in the body, that's in this physical body, the dying of our Lord, of the Lord Jesus, that in the life also of Jesus might be made the manifest, might be made manifest in our body. So ask yourself, if you feel very often that you are in despair, there's something wrong in your mind. We need to have some of those good old Holy Ghost prayer meetings. We need to have a good old Holy Ghost fit. I remember when I first came here, Rachel Smith got plumbed down in the floor right over here. Just, I'm not for sure what she done. She wasn't with us. She went somewhere. And it was touching all of us. That's the way we need to get sometimes. And me especially. When your mate can walk up to you and say, hey, I ain't seen you pray through in a while, then it's obviously you ain't prayed through in a while. Because there ain't another human on this planet knows me like my wife. And a cistern can go dry. Remember, we used to go up to Hilton Booth's property and had a big cistern. It's a big old hole, and they had concreted it. And they actually rocked it. It was rocked down inside of it, and in later years they poured a concrete top over it. It was like a manhole cover. And somebody had stolen the cover. Go figure. But anyway, I remember we'd go up to this cistern, we'd look down this cistern, and there'd be all kinds of dead things down in it. Frogs, and dogs, cats, and squirrels, and just junk. You couldn't drink that water. There was nothing fresh in it. A cistern's supposed to have fresh water in it. Ain't that where you aged people used to put your goods to keep them cold? Look down sometimes. I need to take a look down my cistern and see, is it dry? Is something dead in there? Is it fermenting? Is it rotten? Can somebody drink of it? Do I have enough fresh water in me? I'm dealing every day with the situation. A person calls me every single day. This man calls me, and I love him dearly. He's a dear brother, but he calls me every day. Or he'll text me every day. He communicates every day. And he told me, he said, I'm the only fresh water. I said, well, at least you're fresh water. How do you respond to that? How do you encourage somebody that knows they're fresh water to a dry place that they're in? You need to ask yourself if you're parched and dry and croaking and you're tired of being here, and I'm most certainly sure that you could be that way. You shouldn't be that way, but we should look down in ourselves. Ask the person that loves you the most, do you think that I'm a dry well? I promise you, he or she will probably be honest with you. I love it when my wife is very spiritual. Everything goes good. But I've discovered something. She ain't that way. If I ain't that way. I'll ask this question. I've wrote it down before, but I'll ask it this time. If in your home there's a general, if actions speak louder than words, we all agree to that? Actions speak louder than words? If actions speak louder than words, and there's a general despondency in your home, a general lack of interest in your home, whose actions is doing the talking? Whose actions are they following if you're the leader? I'm rough on me. I'm rough on those guys, ain't I? Sorry, guys. God put us in that position for a reason. I appreciate being a man, most definitely. I wish I was more of a man, you know, big, buff, husky man, but I'm just a little short, pudgy me. That's all I can be. But in Christ, I don't want to be Hercules. I don't want to do some great exploit of physical showmanship. I want to be, was talking the other day at work, and these women are talking. I've worked around women most of my life in nurse in the hospital scene. I worked around all the women and stuff, and these women were talking, and they're talking about how wild their husbands were, sharing all them. I said, yeah, I used to be wild, crazy wild. She says, you? I said, yeah, me? I'd get plumb crazy. She said, oh, Jeff. She said, I don't think so. I said, you don't think I could be crazy? She goes, no, not at all. Well, kind of insulted me. As if you're questioning my manhood. I said, no, I could be wild and crazy. I was a nut back in them days. She said, no, I don't think you could ever be crazy. I went home, told my wife, I said, you know, they don't think I guess they think I'm a man or something. She goes, that's the greatest compliment somebody could ever give you. I said, how you figure that? She says, because finally Christ has worked enough in your life to completely drown out and repaint what you used to be. So to the point that people can't even see it anymore. I said, thanks, baby. Give me a hug.
Well, you may be down today, oh, but hey.
didn't he? Hallelujah. Well, what practices are happening then? Band practice, Brother Talley? Band practice at 4 o'clock in choir? No choir, just band practice at 4 o'clock today. It's been a good day so far today. Come back with the expectation on our heart to receive more from the Lord. Amen. All right. Hallelujah. Amen. Dismissed.